Naked City, baby. You know you like it. It's the Naked City.
The Naked City.
It's a bit cold to be naked in here today, isn't it, Miss Steph?
That's right.
We have an extraordinary woman with us now, a woman that we have spent years trying to dig up and regurgitate onto Sydney's airwaves, the one and only Vashti Hughes. Vashti, how are you?
Oh, well, I feel like a big pile of vomit now.
That's beautiful. I'm glad you feel that way.
Thank
Miss Steph, you're going to conduct the... You're going to kick this off, aren't you?
No, I suppose I am.
Yeah, come on!
Okay, so six quick chicks. That's a mouthful. Yes, every time I try to say it really quickly, I always get tongue-tied. But yes, tell us about six quick chicks.
Okay, well, I've been practicing saying six quick chicks all the way on the train to Parramatta the last couple of Friday nights.
So have you been catching the train out there?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Why
is that?
Girl.
You haven't got a car.
How incredible.
You haven't got a car.
I don't drive.
Okay.
No.
You couldn't get a lift with someone?
The traffic. No, I don't want to get in that traffic. That peak hour traffic, I get frightened on it.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel safe on the train.
Okay, what about the other five girls? They are all chicks, aren't they?
They're all chicks.
You have to ask nowadays.
You do. They are all chicks. And they risk the traffic.
Oh, right, okay. You can't get a lift with them?
Well, I could, but I don't...
You prefer not? You don't want to be in the traffic, driving or a passenger. Okay, fair enough.
We were saying before...
It's not very cabaret.
How hard it is to get people seem to be suburb-centric in Sydney, and to get them to even sometimes come to the Annandale when they're living in Surry Hills or Darlinghurst. I mean, we have...
It's impossible.
With a gun, literally, behind their head.
Yeah.
But, you know... I am really proud that you're taking it out there. I mean, we're curating at the Penrith Regional Gallery, and I think it's really important because there's a large population out there that are up for it.
Yeah, and they're listening right now.
I know, and they're loyal listeners. They're caring listeners.
Yeah. No, they have to come because they will love it. I'll tell you about the show.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Okay, so there's six chicks,
And they're quick.
And they're quick. Mm-hmm. Their brief in this show is to be brief.
Okay. Is there lots of underpants in it? Is that what you're saying?
There are some underpants.
Okay, well, there you go. There's a bonus.
You're right.
Yes.
And they're all from completely different performance backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Circus, music, theatre, stand-up comedy, mime. But all of them are hilarious. They're very, very funny and they're very sexy.
Funny and sexy.
Yeah, they're funny and sexy. It's a great combo. And you've got an hour and 15 tops sitting in a theatre to just have a smorgasbord of delights in front of you. Just a vista, an array of ridiculous...
And it's
absurd.
All looking and no touching, isn't it? Yes.
No touching.
It's not that kind of...
Although last night, some of the chicks were getting into the audience and...
Well, that's different.
..started, the other way.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
There were even a few grey hairs in the audience last night and they loved the touching.
Fantastic. I'm sure they
would. Someone had a lycrobotomy in their face and honestly, I thought they might have a heart attack on the spot of pure delight.
The show actually moves really rapidly from one performer to the next.
Hence the quick. Quick chicks.
So I take it... The six quick chicks do more than one act. They do several.
Well, the thing is, it's that everyone's got quite a few acts, but so the show just goes through various incarnations. We've been going since the beginning of January last year, and the idea is basically you're going to go and see six shows, but it probably won't be six shows that you've seen by these performers before.
Right.
Because it's about creating new work and keeping the audience, alive with new, interesting things.
Yep. You've always been very generous with your creativity. You actually always get other people involved.
Yeah, I do it for free.
Well, not just that, but you always have other people involved with you. Tell us about the other five quick chicks.
The other five quick chicks.
Yeah, I mean, really, I guess it's about 10.
All right, okay, I love that. We can't take
anything
literally.
Can't count, okay.
Tell us about some of them.
Okay, well, we've got my gorgeous sister, Krista Hughes, joining us for this Parramatta season. She was out there last night and just what a rip snorter of a performer she is. She's been off with Circus Oz for 2 years. I had forgotten how fucking brilliant...
Yeah, oh, potty mouth, right. Yeah. Kids.
I mean, sometimes you need to use those verbs to just, you know. But you and your sister.
I didn't really say it, though.
If it wasn't for you and your sister, I'd just say the Sydney live scene would be dead in many, many ways because you two basically are, well, as far as I'm concerned, you're our ballast. You're both profound and what an incredible family.
I like that metaphor. It's as if we're some kind of a ship. And on this ship, we have sails such as the gorgeous Annabelle Lines.
Mm-hmm.
divine. I mean, she is burlesque, exquisite fantasy material.
She was doing burlesque before they even came up with the word.
She was. She was born. She came out of her mother's womb with a sexy little bikini and a fan and a hoop and a very twisted sense of humour.
I saw
her
that
poor
video.
Mother.
She
her
did
poor
too.
Mother. That I saw would be that quite video, painful.
There was stitches after that, I'm sure.
God, this is an amazing show. There's so many people.
Yeah, and Jackie Loeb, brilliant stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. She'll be joining us next week. Just hilarious. And we've got the gorgeous Lucy Suze Taylor. She gets about in stretch lycra doing fantastic yoga routines. Takes us all through a meditation, so it gets a bit physical for a little while. And the gorgeous Celia Curtis from Circus Bazaar, who has an array of characters. Last night she was Marcel Ma, So Far So Good, very twisted and bent form of mime.
Yes.
She's a reject from the International School of Mime. And she'll be Anita Douche, a very sort of quite a foul-mouthed but beautiful-hearted Las Vegas has been next week, I think. So
Anita Douche.
Anita Douche. Mm-hmm. And
Mummy, what's a douche? I can just hear that.
And we've already had another couple. Someone came up to from the audience with a card from me last night, a beautiful cabaret performer. Her name's Madame Juju. I haven't heard of her before.
Right.
And said, please, I want to be in this show.
God.
I thought, that's beautiful.
How old was she, roundabout?
About 8.
I get a feeling this is going to be bigger than the vagina monologues.
Well, that's what people are saying, and that's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where is it, and how do people get there, and what is the cost?
So it's at Parramatta Riverside. Well, they're called
Riverside Theatres. Yeah, that's right, Parramatta.
Yeah, 9 o'clock for the next 3 Fridays.
Yes.
So where are the Riverside
May the
theaters?
16th, 23rd and the 30th.
Yeah.
You can book, can't you?
You can book at the Riverside Theatres.
That's right. 8839 3399.
And we're online. They're online. Or you can check out stuff about the
riversideparramatta.com.au. You can email.
Now, what is the address there, Mr.?
I don't know.
It's the corner of Church and Market Street.
Right, Parramatta.
It's a 10-minute walk from the station, or you can get the jet cat, which actually takes about an hour. Or you can drive.
Yeah, but you're better off on the train.
But people live in Parramatta. You can walk.
Of course they live in Parramatta.
Come.
Is tens of thousands of people living in Parramatta. And they're beautiful people. I find them a little less arrogant than the inner city ones, you know what I mean? A little bit more down to earth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why that is. We all get a bit hoity-toity.
We're
all a bit too eastern suburbs, yuppie.
And we're just getting dosed with CO2, and that's what's clouded our minds completely.
CO2, isn't that water?
No, that's H2O, Ms.
Oh, H2O. What's CO2?
You are really getting dyslexic
this
morning.
What's CO2? Carbon dioxide.
Oh, carbon dioxide.
Maybe in the next instalment of this six quick chicks, they bring out 7 quick chicks and they can have a slow one. The start.
Yeah.
Ms. Death. He's doing stand-up abuse.
That's my thing.
Do you guys know of it? This is just a different thing. Medium Rare, the gallery up here, 70 Regent Street.
Yes.
Mavis Brown, at 7 o'clock on Monday night, is actually going to take a real exercise class. If anyone wants to come along for $10
and exercise
with her. Yeah. She's got her own groovy tunes happening.
I bet she has.
She's a repressed secretary extraordinaire, but she does actually some good yogalattes stretches and classes, and, well, she's never done it before.
All right. Well, you know, we're all learning together. Yes, we're all learning together.
Okay, well, that's 7 o'clock on Monday night.
There you go. But, up at the region.
The chicks are every Friday night for the next month.
Every Friday night for the next three Fridays of May. And if people come and flood through those doors, I know Riverside Theatres are going to want so much more of those chicks.
Yeah.
I can smell it in the air.
Well, you have to get out there, people. You have to support these extraordinary ladies. They are
especially
the queens of creativity.
Especially Vashti for going all the way out there on the train.
On the train, yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
what train do you catch?
Oh, look, then you can get a country train.
Yeah, no, what train are you catching?
do you take Ross with you?
I do. I take our stage manager, Ross Johnston, stage manager extraordinaire.
Yeah.
He is on and off that stage changing the mic heights and bottles of water like grease lightning.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What a beautiful man he is.
Gone from machine gun fellatio to that.
I know.
It's an interesting career change.
That's a step up. It really is.
Behind every six quick chicks, there is an ex-machine gun fellatio star.
Personage.
Yeah, those people spread themselves around, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they know what to do with the gaffer tape.
We won't get into your personal life here. Maybe we'll keep you on the air with us as we go to our next track.
Yes.
And we'll come back and you've got a few deaths there, have you, Mr.
I've got one death.
Oh, we can keep Vashti in here to just comment on the deaths.
We're going to talk a little bit about Underbelly, so.
Yes, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we can
you want to talk about that crap, do you?
I
do.
Well, I haven't actually seen any of them, but
well,
I hear
neither have we,
brilliant.
So there you go.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they're brilliant. We haven't watched them.
They're anywhere near as brilliant as those six quick chicks. And I think what they should do is actually get their game up. Underbelly's over now. It's over, isn't it? It's just become an illegal box set.
The prequel has been mooted already.
A prequel?
What they should be doing is funding a reality TV show based on this extraordinary cabaret and theatre performance of yours, girl.
Which could be seen at Riverside Theatres.
Now, Underbelly's been a bit of a phenomenon of Australian TV.
Yes.
They're already talking about doing a prequel. Obviously, they couldn't do a sequel because most of the characters were killed off in it. So they've got this idea of doing a prequel. Obviously, Channel 9 wants to milk it.
Why can't they bring back number 96 in the box? I mean, I'm sick of Underbelly.
They've released it on DVD.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, apparently, that's why I'm sick of it.
They've released it on DVD, and apparently if you're living in somewhere like...
Well, they're checking your ID, aren't they?
Well, yeah, if you're living in Albury, Wodonga, for example, you know, the...
The Bermuda Triangle of Australia. I've been blown up down there by scalar waves.
If you cross the border to buy it in Albury, you have to show ID.
Why is that?
Well, it's not for sale in Victoria.
Well, they don't want you to take it into Victoria. It's become a hot Underbelly sort of item, hasn't it?
Albury Wodonga.
Yeah, I reckon you should stash the boot full of that stuff, go over the border and make a bit of money. You can get a down deposit for a mobile home.
Well, the final, I must admit, the final episode the other night fell very flat.
The whole thing's fallen flat. Come on.
What I really objected to was Channel 9, just before it was about to start, they had this voiceover saying, "You're now about to see the program by which all other programs of this type will be judged."
This is what came on.
They obviously hadn't been watching The Sopranos.
Yeah. Well, the shameful thing was Channel 9 had The Sopranos to screen, and they treated it like, you know, like some kind of lunatic
relative.
They
treated it like Curb Your Enthusiasm. They shoved it on at like 1 in the morning,
didn't
they?
They did, yeah. And when the tennis came on, they just, you know,
got rid of it.
You know, they ruined it. I mean, it just, you know, they just made a mess of it. It was just such a great
series. Look, I think the only positive thing from Underbelly is get that now, cross the border and make a fortune. Don't bother to watch it. Just sell it.
Well, this is good because I've been looking for something to try
to sell
and prop
for a while.
My finances as a cabaret artist.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, could I do a government grant or a bit of contraband DVD, you know?
Oh, look, I've been trying to do the government grant thing forever. Nothing's ever worked.
So have we, darling. It doesn't matter what you write. It's who you know.
You know how TV milks, once they have a success, they just milk it for all it's worth.
They flog it to death.
Channel 9's got the Underbelly stars, you know, cross... promotion appearing on everything from the footy show to a fishing show. You know, you can go fishing
to the races.
You know what'll happen?
They're all out at the races.
There'll be the Nestle chocolate blown up body from Underbelly. There'll be, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Well, there's
got to
be Underbelly the musical, hasn't there?
Yeah,
absolutely.
On ice. On that manufactured speed.
That's good. Underbelly on ice. And they all, maybe you could bring out the characters, all the dead ones, at the beginning of the show, like we're in the morgue.
Yeah. And then you'd probably see a much more entertaining program with those people just suspended in cryogenic animation.
And look,
you know?
I had a great idea instead of doing a sequel, getting one of those American psychics out here and having Underbelly the seance. Getting like a big Ouija board, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful.
And talking to the gangsters up there, you know?
It's the only way you're going to be able to talk to them.
Jason Moran, can you hear us? What did you think of the series?
How many stars would you give it?
Yeah.
Listen, I think Six Quick Chicks, the reality show, needs to be done.
On ice.
It's about time some producer got out there to Parramatta, looked at this thing and realised its worth.
Yeah. Can any of you skate?
Look, I definitely can't, but maybe I could have some sort of a sled.
Now what
would I need to ice skate?
No, you wouldn't.
Radio with pictures. What sort of TV show is manned by women? There really isn't one still, is there?
Manned by women, no.
No,
it wouldn't be manned.
Kerry Ann Kinley's show, that's about it.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Of course it is. And you look more like a moron than
woman
an oxy.
Woman by woman, I think you mean.
Yeah. But, you know, what can you tell me of any, you know, after 7 o'clock show? That has
in the evening,
a female front person?
Well, it'd be lots on SBS, wouldn't it?
Well, there's Insight with Jenny Brockie.
Yeah. But you don't want to do it.
You're not impressed with her, but are you?
Oh, she's a lovely person, but it ain't Six Quick Chicks. You know?
It ain't Six Quick Chicks. We're much funnier than Jenny Brockie.
Maybe people could email us about their notion.
Studio at FBIRadio.com.
Underbelly or whatever.
We'd love to hear from you. We'll come back and we'll talk about some dead people. Maybe the.
I've only got one dead person.
Oh, we'll come back and talk.
Can we have a seance?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, of course we can. We'll use our producer as the Ouija board. Yeah.
I want to meet my granddad.
Calico here!
Yes,
was
David,
that a track or a little bit of
was,
interlude
it was a track
music?
Entitled,
it sounded like something that you'd play in between, you know, eating one of those Havana biscuits
El
or something.
El Fego Bacha.
Oh, really?
From David and Ansel Collins, a bit of classic Jamaican music. And if you want to hear some incredible Jamaican music tonight at the Manning Bar, Don Letts.
The big one. Mm. Now, I suggest that everyone in Sydney gets down there. And this is your last chance to see the awesome legend that is Don Letts. An extraordinary person, great filmmaker, great musician, and he was part of Big Audio Dynamite, but he's also a wonderful DJ. We had him on the show last week, and I think it'll be a great evening.
What's he going to be doing exactly down there tonight?
Well, I think he's doing everything tonight. Mm-hmm. Tonight is the big one, isn't it, Miss Death?
He's doing
DJing,
he's screening,
he's doing Q&A's.
He's doing some spoken, well, he's doing a reading.
Yeah.
And he's DJing, so a bit of everything.
He's just released a great autobiography, and you can search for it out there.
Absolutely.
Clash of Culture. He was the man that made every film
on sale
for The Clash.
At the,
Oh, my goodness.
And he's a rasta baby. He's got the most beautiful hair you could ever imagine.
Haven't seen his hair yet. He keeps it up in that mushroom that he wears on his head.
Well, we saw it on Good News Week.
Is he tall?
I didn't see it. Yes.
He's tall.
He's tallish, yes.
Handsome. Mm. He's got that whole Van Peebles sort of handsomeness
and
in there.
And he's from...
He's
British-born.
British-born
Jamaican.
Jamaican parents.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he does that English-Jamaican accent.
It's beautiful. It's fantastic.
I love it. I just could listen to that all night. And what's his shtick?
Well, his shtick is he's a documentarian.
He's got punk attitude.
He did the documentary Punk Attitude. I don't know if you saw that. Very seminal doc to say where has punk attitude gone.
It is a good question. Where has it gone?
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
Yeah.
Well, it's gone in the kids' hands that are playing Grand Theft Auto. That's where it's disappeared to. But anyway. All right. Okay.
Yes.
Some deaths.
The death I've got. There was a few deaths, but I couldn't find the rest of them. Morgan Sparks, Bell scientist, dies at 91. Mr. Sparks made critical contributions to developing the second generation transistor, which became a building block for modern electronic devices, the radio, basically.
Now, Mr. Sparks was working for Northrop Grumman. He didn't actually get the idea of the transistor from his own imagination.
No.
It was back engineered from crash flying saucers. We'll get into that at some other stage, Vashti. You're very aware of that stuff. You've incorporated that into Six Quick Chicks, and that's why they are so quick. They're moving at light speed. The trouble is waiting for the applause could take hundreds of years. All right, get down to it.
Albert Hofmann died on 29th of April. You did a bit of a spiel on him.
That's right.
Yeah, I was going to bring in the Leary record, and then I've lost it, but it's autographed to me. I met Timothy Leary, believe it or not, in the...
Town Hall.
No. was the pub where the Greyhound racetrack is. What's the name of that, that
the
hotel?
Come on. The Harold Park Hotel.
Yeah. And he was here to do a reading on his conception of his conception. And, you know, the most incredible thing about Leary, he was born on the day the prohibition was lifted in the United States.
Clearly, so, his parents had a party.
A very, very special time for Leary. Leary became probably the most well-known proponent of LSD, but LSD was created by Albert Hofmann in 1938 in Switzerland, working for a drug company similar to Roche or Bayer, or one of those companies that has its tentacles into all sorts of intelligence operations and really is a dangerous thing.
Yeah. Is it true that he accidentally ingested some from his fingertip?
I reckon from his skin. You see, the problem was with dosage.
Touching and then licking.
Most psychoactive drugs would be measured in milligrams, and he didn't realise that LSD was so powerful you had to measure it in micrograms.
So he must have been off his head.
He was off his head. And then about 3 years later, he decided...
LSD when you're on LSD. I don't know. That's very
bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then about 3 years later, he decided to ingest the proper dosage and take a little bike ride, which has become very historical because in the midst of that bike ride, the bike turned into the universe.
Oh, yeah.
Things changed.
Now, look, I'm drowning in my soup.
I think very close to that time, what was the birth of the OSS, the beginning of the CIA, co-opted LSD and decided this is going to be a great interrogation tool. And at the same time, they actually put it out there.
I think the music in the background is actually the cast of Underbelly at the DVD party after they dropped some acid.
Throw that in. People are being still picked up today. There was an arrest about 2 weeks ago in Darwin for a gentleman that had like 250 trips strapped to his stomach. It's a wonder he wasn't completely flying the plane by himself.
Just through pure ingestion of it around his... skin. Why did they invent LSD?
It was supposed to be a psychoactive drug to be used in therapy for the mentally ill.
Yes.
Now, that's the most preposterous thing I've ever heard.
You've got schizophrenia.
Yes.
Have some acid.
Have some more. We'll just up that dosage for you.
And you know what? Albert lived to 102, so it really didn't affect his longevity whatsoever. But he died a happy man because... In Sweden, he decided to legalise it for medical purposes again in only a couple of years ago.
Well, he died of a heart attack. He wouldn't have been too happy about that, would he?
No. Aldous Huxley was the one. He actually got his wife to give him LSD on his deathbed. He died the night that JFK was assassinated. So what a way to go.
Well, that'd be a good time to go, wouldn't it?
It was a good trip.
Well, evidently it was. He never came back from it. So there you go.
But imagine dying and you've got the awful horrors.
Yeah, well, darling, I don't think death is sort of, you know, one of those things you can put a positive and negative to. It's just going to happen to all of us.
Yeah, I don't think I want to bring it on even harder with acid. But what were you saying about they've just re-legalised it?
Yes, for medical
testing.
And I wonder how they're using that. Mm. Who do they give it to? I've got mental problems.
No, you haven't. What are you talking about?
I just want some acid to be given to me as a...
Now, look, there's a quote here from Albert Hofmann, which, you know, he was a bit horrified by the fact that, you know, kids were taking LSD and dropping acid. And
Well, why did he go on the bike ride?
He's quoted as saying, "I would tell the young people to go out into the countryside, go to the meadow, go to the garden, go to the woods, open your eyes and see the browns and greens of the earth and the light which is the essence of nature."
Yeah, he's tripping.
He was completely on the stuff when he said that, you know. God, not that we know, because none of us in this room ever exhaled. I mean, inhaled, one of the two.
We just hailed.
Yeah, you're going to get yourselves out to Parramatta, people.
Naked City, Abby May there. Where's she appearing? We've got Christian Brimo, our producer, in the studio now for a new segment on the Naked City, Gigs and Games, with a bit of interplay there with Miss Death if we start a bit of argy-bargy.
Yeah, she's appearing at Wednesday. It's Spectrum, great little venue in the 34 Oxford Street.
And where's she from,
She's
Christian?
From Perth.
Right. 34B. She's at 34B,
She's just playing at the main Spectrum room.
Okay.
She's from Perth, same as Kill Devil Hills, Capital City, and a lot of other bands that are making a bit of a splash right now.
Great.
At least they're able to travel interstate.
What does that mean?
Well, it means people should get to Parramatta. Wake up to yourself. Six quick chicks. What time does that start?
9 p.m.
9 o'clock. Yeah, get there early. Have something to eat.
Okay, Christian, what have you been playing and what have you been seeing this week?
Well, let's lead it off with the gig, get out of the way. It's a bloke named Malcolm Middleton. I saw him on Wednesday. He's a former lead singer of Arab Strap, one of those legendary bands everyone pretends to know about.
Sounds like a piece of equipment out of the tool shop.
And it's, it basically was a piece of equipment for your tool shop. And, it was, you know, really, really, really depressing music about sort of the mundane depressingness when you realize that you're sitting at home on a Wednesday night and you're going to die and you've got, like, you know, some cheap beer, but what the hell, there might be something good on ABC. Bit of an intense gig, but, you know, he was funny because he was Scottish and he looked like he could, you know, give you one of those Glasgow kisses.
Where was that?
That was at the Hopetown. It was a packed show on Wednesday night with support from Sydney's own Geordie Lane and Parades. And I also played another show on Thursday, so I rather enjoyed it, actually. Actually, probably the best gig of the week was the annual open mic poetry gig at the Friend in Hand Hotel in Glebe, Word in Hand, where our friend Tug Dumbly performed a lot of stand-up, and people like me and others just sort of slammed our hearts out.
Was it a competition? Was it a...
Well, there's three parts. There's the normal open mic night, the, you know, headliners, and then there's the competition where people slam. They get 2 minutes, and it's judged by the audience.
And that was the slam?
Yeah.
Was it? Wow. Who won?
I can't actually remember the name of the bloke who won.
Was it a high standard? Was everyone really good?
There were four of us, and I was one of them. But it was pretty high standard, yeah. We generally get some pretty experienced people there.
I want to be on your list. Do you do an email list? Let people know when things are happening.
Just Google Word in Hand. I'll get your email address and I'll put you on an email list. Pretty much goes for anyone. Email the naked
Google
city.
Word in Hand, because that stuff is so exciting.
Yeah,
it's thrilling. I went to and saw at the State Library. It was the semi-final slam a few months ago. And I just thought that was one of the most exciting events I'd been to in a very long time.
That's what's great about these things. All the people who are in the National Slam and stuff, they all come to this thing once a month at Friend in Hand Hotel. And, you know, it's really freewheeling. You know, you'll have me heckling an experienced guy from Chicago and, you know, some hippies there and some you know, you'll generally get some visitors from out of state or even, you know, across the world.
Yeah, because years ago, I used to think, oh, it sounds a bit like, you know, boring poetry, but it's the complete opposite.
Some of it is. Some of it is me improvising rants about hippies for an hour.
Right.
Do you know any hippies? Or a night at the YMCA, basically, just looking around.
Games, Christian. Yeah.
Yes.
I've been, you know, everyone's up with Grand Theft Auto Mania, but I'm technically, what'd you say, broke, so I can't afford Grand Theft Auto 4. So I've
you're a very lucky man.
I've been addicted to a little Nintendo DS game called The World Ends With You, which is by Squaresoft.
Sounds very appropriate.
Most known for the makers of Final Fantasy. And I can't get over how innovative this game is. I mean, most Squaresoft games are basically known for their stories and the you know, actual gameplay takes a back foot. But this is amazing. Like, on the bottom screen, you've got your guy, and his abilities are controlled by those little badge pins everyone likes to wear. I know I love them. And each attack is, like, controlled by a different gesture on your, you know, using your stylus. Sometimes you even have to blow or shout into the microphone. But on the top screen, you've got another guy who's, you know, like, got their own sort of attack. I can't really explain it without sounding crazy, but that's amazing. But the whole thing about this game is every single facet is amazing. Like, it's got a monster encyclopedia, and the monster names are stuff like the Shrewgazer and the Madchester Rhino. Who the hell remembers Madchester?
You do.
I don't.
You know what's incredible is just to look around this room at the four other people in here going, look, what the hell is he talking about?
LSD. That's the problem with this game. Like, every time someone tries to explain it, it sounds like you're tripping, but
yeah.
The whole idea is the amazing thing about it is it actually captures, it's set in Shibuya, this Japanese fashion region. It sort of captures youth culture without being really dumb about it. You know, like, your attacks are affected by the trends in the city, and I actually find this the most offensive aspect of the game. I can handle Grand Theft Auto, I can handle killing 1,000 people, but a game...
Sure, any day.
But a game that says, hey, you have to wear the right brand of clothes in order to
get... When you kill them.
Yeah, no, you don't kill people, but...
When you walk down the catwalk. Yeah. Vashti, do you play these games? Because I've never touched one of them.
I remember Space Invaders.
Yeah.
Oh, Space Invaders Extreme is coming out soon for the DS.
Space Invaders Extreme.
I have to say, no, I have to say, seriously,
it's been a long time.
Space Invaders Extreme is amazing. And when that, imported, pirated, if that comes out, when that comes out to the States, seriously, buy it. It's one of the best DS games I've played in a long time.
You know what I think was the demise of games when they got rid of those little cocktail units, you know?
They still have them.
Do they?
I think the problem right now, though, is I see a lot of these cocktail units, and I don't think they're technically legal. It looks like what people are doing is getting the code from a bunch of games, basically putting them on one board and selling them to these you know, pubs. And if anyone from the actual game company comes in, it's like, dude, that's kind of not on.
Mm. Sort of up there with
what are the cocktail units? Those little tables that you sit at?
Oh, I've got one in the Lansdowne.
All right,
but yeah, seriously,
it makes
like
it social.
Well,
I just like. I have to say, you know, DS has a huge penetration market, whatever. I'm sure someone listening...
Keeping it clean.
I'm sure someone listening here has one. Just check out this game, The World Ends With You. And I do have to say, though, that I'd much prefer people learn to kill than they learn to follow fashion trends, because trendiness is what's killing us.
Well, I don't think
still
we should
a good
learn to
game.
Kill anything. I think the main thing is...
Or follow trends.
Christian, you should get back
trends.
To the phone, because that guy that phoned about Miss Death, he'll be phoning
right,
about
and
you
one,
at any moment.
One last thing, if you don't have any of this, just Google up Dino Run. There's a great free Flash game where you're a dinosaur running from the impending, you know...
Ice Age.
Nuclear nuclear destruction.
Okay. Yeah.
And if people want to live, don't get
that's
near
what
any
I meant to say.
Stuff.
Yes.
All right. Okay, before we get onto the Joseph Fritzl game again.
I'm telling you, you can already do that in The Sims.
Now, he did that because he wanted to keep his daughter safe from outside influences.
Like crazy horror films, Miss Seth.
It's better that...
And video nasties.
It's better that he rape her than a stranger rape her.
Okay.
That was the thing, yeah.
20 different conversations going on here at once.
Good Lord, we've
fantastic.
Given too much time to the young today. Here's a quote from Dodd Letts from this week. They used to say, don't trust anyone over 30. Today, I don't trust anyone under 30. Let's be blunt. Today's youth are spoiled. I don't need to go any further, do I?
It's
and
a
that wasn't
word.
Directed just at our producer.
Not all
but
of them.
We generalised the entire youth. No.
Now, Miss Death, the Greeks actually invented Mother's Day.
Did they?
Did you know that?
I'm not taking blame for that.
Yes.
No way.
It was actually to celebrate Zeus's mother.
Zeus's mother.
I've done
mother.
A bit of research on this.
The
Did
god
Zeus
of gods.
Have an Oedipal complex?
Well, I don't know, but he had a mother called Rhea, apparently.
Rhea.
Yeah.
And?
And they actually...
Is this the contemporary version of
instigated
Zeus?
A birthday to celebrate, you know, the mother of Zeus.
Right, yes. The mother of mothers.
Yeah, the mother of all mothers.
Because he was the god of gods,
and then,
Zeus.
Of course, people forgot about it for about 2,000 years.
And then Hallmark
and
got
then
onto
Hallmark
it.
Got
yeah.
onto it.
There's something we can celebrate. There's something we can move a few cards with.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Monday night, you've done a beautiful piece of programming here, Miss Steph.
Yes,
you
I have.
Flesh-eating mothers
that's
on.
That's right.
This is mothers
in celebration.
That turn into cannibals and actually eat
their
kids.
Children.
Now, all of us that have experienced a little bit of that happening in our own lives are going to identify with this film, don't
yes,
you think?
Yes, yes.
Read it. What's it? What happens?
Well, it's a bunch of mothers that are get a disease. They're actually promiscuous mothers.
Oh,
and,
mothers.
Yes, naughty mothers. And they end up getting a bit of a... they get a venereal disease that actually turns them into flesh-eating cannibals.
Where they want to eat their own children.
They want to eat their children and do eat their children. And then once they've eaten their children, of course, there's you know, you've only got a certain number of children you've got to keep eating, then they start on the rest of the town. So it's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek. It's a bit of a
yeah, but there's
funny,
some truth to it. I mean, with our grandchild, there are moments where you just want to eat him. He's so gorgeous.
Cute.
You just start nibbling
yeah,
on the
kid.
Flesh.
Yeah, those little
you know?
Buttocks are
yeah,
just
yeah.
so...
Yeah, well, yeah. okay, let's not yeah. go there.
We're
right,
getting back to
okay.
the
yes.
schnitzel equation, aren't we? Yeah. Okay, well, that's Monday night.
That's on Monday, yes. Don't forget yeah. that.
Well,
we
look,
shouldn't.
There's been a lot of sexual impropriety occurring in the world, and I'm really actually... heartbroken since I left SBS that things have gone downhill so quickly. I mean, they do need someone in there to keep an eye on the moral high water.
Clearly.
And when I was around, I would actually every 15 minutes do a round of the toilets.
to make sure everything
wait,
was okay.
Wait a
actually, you know, something's
right
just
this?
Triggered in my mind.
What?
Do you remember me coming home one day and saying some weird
weird stuff was going down in there.
In the toilets?
Really? Who was going down on who?
No, I don't know.
Now,
sorry.
We should clarify what we're alluding here to last Tuesday's...
Well, it's not us alluding to it. It's
Daily
the paper
Telegraph.
Screamed
in the headline, nude staff filmed in secret at SBS office.
Wow.
A group of women at the public broadcaster SBS was secretly filmed getting dressed and undressed in the work change rooms by another employee.
Yeah.
But staff were not alerted for 2 years. Now, apparently this happened back in 2006.
You were there, Cats.
Mm. Oh, my God, I was filmed in the nude in the change room.
You were filming.
You were filming.
I would never film that.
Yeah. But management kept it a secret from staff because police did not want to alert any potential.
But
what stuff
were they
go up on YouTube?
Doing? Were they just
changing?
You're changing to go on air.
Yeah. No. You're changing to go on air.
Yeah.
People do
a camera had been positioned on the roof of the change rooms, so it would have got like a perpendicular view, so to speak.
Yeah. Straight down on top of you.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's an up and down view.
What were they doing?
And images of women undressing were found on an employee's personal computer.
There we go.
So the camera is no longer in the change room, which
thank
that's
God.
Good to know.
Well, that's good that they took that down. Now, when were you sacked?
Well, I wasn't sacked, Miss Death.
All right, they didn't pick up your contract.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Anyway, that's another word for sacked.
No,
the suspect has been identified.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a peeping Tom.
Or doesn't actually mention here where the changes
or a Thomasina.
Are about to be.
Thomasina.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You don't know nowadays.
No.
What about, no sort of alluding to any sniffing there, though?
I'm just wondering whether the illicit images came with subtitles.
And in
maybe.
How many languages?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, look, I think there's a bad apple in every bunch, to tell you the truth, and it doesn't matter whether that's SBS, the ABC or the free-to-airs. You can imagine the plethora of this stuff happening in the free-to-airs.
Come on, what's come out of the free-to-airs?
Yeah.
Let's not go there.
I mean, brother, they've created
people
an
on heli,
TV
helipads
based on
and
that.
People going down on people in stairwells and come on.
Yeah.
I'd like to think some of that was going on in the SBS toilets, though. Not just that they were nude, but, you know, that there was activity.
I don't know.
Look, Vashti, I just wouldn't go there.
I just
want
to go. But I do. I want to be in one of those cubicles of SBS. I've never been nude at SBS. I feel like I'm missing out.
Mm. No, you're not.
Well, maybe we could get... What's that photographer?
Even,
I don't know. How did you find those cubicles, Jay? You must
I had no idea I was
them.
Being filmed. I'll have to go back and check what I was doing, really.
Well, Jay Katz actually used to change in there and supply his own subtitles in Esperanto.
Yeah. And no one gave a damn.
That's
I was
right.
trying to show them that I could multitask, even if I was a man.
Now, the UK has become the surveillance capital of the world.
There
recently.
Are more CCTV cameras in that town alone than anywhere else in the entire world.
If you think going to the SBS change room is bad, you've got to go to London.
Yeah.
There are cameras everywhere.
They actually, you can get on the net and you can see trees of cameras. And these are actually, there are just numerous branches, so cameras can point in every direction.
Every direction. Everything's covered. Every direction
degrees.
Is covered.
Some of these trees have up to 12 to 16 cameras mounted. Them.
Mm. And if you drop a piece of paper in the street, there's a
they
voice
tell
that
you
comes
that's right.
On.
Pick that up.
Also, they're making a fortune by selling them to all these, you know, ridiculous reality shows.
Oh, that's right.
And what's
yeah.
happened in Britain is that councils are fighting over, you know, the demarcation lines between their counties for who actually gets the profit off the tape they sell to the next Wild Weekly video show.
Mm. Now, we're not sure whether Amy Winehouse was spotted on a surveillance camera smoking crack cocaine.
No, she wasn't. She was set up.
She was filmed,
by the people that evidently did Bob Geldof and Paula Yates, supposedly.
Right. Yeah, and on the strength of that video footage, she has now been charged, has she, for smoking crack?
She's been
crack.
Charged.
How can you be?
Mm. It raises a very interesting
legal point.
That's a very
freaky legal point.
Because she could have been smoking anything.
That's right.
She could have been smoking
baby powder.
PK chewing gum.
Yeah.
You wonder with someone with a profile and that talented why the record company hasn't sent in someone like a PA to look over her, because she certainly suffers, and she's got on record to stated that she suffers bipolar disorder. And so if she's trying to self-medicate, then if they had some psychologist that was employed to look after her for a short while, you wouldn't see these stories in the press.
Mm. Yeah, but if you don't see the stories in the press, then people
the
don't go
don't
out and
sell.
Buy records, do they?
Yeah.
Now, what kind of precedent does this create for all the surveillance cameras? You're in the street would roll your own cigarette just popped a few pills, you know, heart tablets or something.
Yep. Yeah.
You're going to be suddenly descended on by the police and accused.
What if you took a quickies?
That's right.
Indigestion, people.
Yeah, do you snort those
or no? No, you chew them.
But that's like... it's outrageous. I remember reading about Jimmy Barnes in the paper, was it last weekend, saying he'd had just ridiculous amounts of everything. And I thought, well, but how can... And I was thinking, well, why can't you get charged for that?
That's right.
And just openly saying, well, I had, you know, millions of litres.
We've just read your autobiography and there's an incident 15 years ago. We admitted to snorting 10 grams of cocaine. Yeah. That's it.
You're done. Mm. Yes, but they've got to have evidence, don't they? I mean, a confession, a signed confession, is not enough.
Well, surely this
you
will
need
be,
to have evidence to back it up.
Surely this will be thrown out of court on a technicality.
Well, know. You know, the interesting point here is if we had that, then we'd have to lose several politicians. We'd have to lose the head of the education department that's gone on record to say that he had a bit of a drug problem. We'd have to lose our treasurer, a Labor treasurer, who's gone on record to say that he never... exhaled.
Tony Buswell.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's just so many people out there.
Sniffed a chair but didn't inhale.
I mean, that's even more... I reckon that's far more of a criminal act than anything else, you know.
Well, that's a confession.
What it is a crime not against yourself. It's a crime against someone else, basically. So what harm are these people doing? Well, the harm they're doing is to themselves. So it really doesn't necessarily affect anyone else.
And they're keeping, you know... the big businessmen who are making heaps of money off the drugs, wealthy.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone's happy.
Last time they saw a rubber mallet and the paramilitary police up there in the North Shore suburbs, you know, I've yet to see, like, one of those areas, like Tarramurra. We did a raid on every house in every street in Tarramurra yesterday to just see what was cooking in those pill presses, you know. That's not going to happen, is it?
No. Newtown's a great place to get the sniffer dogs out. You know, you pull some poor bastard over who's got half a joint that he forgot in his pocket and you do him in, but you don't stop the people driving the Ferraris with their boots full of cocaine.
I mean, you know, the reality is this too. Everyone that looks at these Amy
people who have lots of cocaine to sell don't catch trains.
Yeah, they're driving past in a Ferrari.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, the other thing is, you know, do any of us look at Amy Whitehouse and go, hey, you know, oh, horror, what a dreadful thing, you know, any 23, 24, 25-year-old that's out there working in music, do we go, oh, what a shock, my God.
They're doing
drugs.
They
snorted something, what a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, they are going downhill. I mean, it's, you know, and on the other side of the coin are people like Cliff Richard still trying to sort of crawl back up.
Congratulations.
There for that song. Congratulations. I mean, La 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 was a far better tune.
Did you see that coffin?
Yeah.
What a story. It must have been a slow news
of Cliff
day.
Richard? When I saw him doing that clip, I thought, my God, he's walked straight off the set of that Thunderbirds film. He's got strings attached.
Yeah.
That was very funny. It was a slow news day that day for that to be the lead story, that Cliff Richard. had been bumped out of the Eurovision in 1968.
I think that everyone that went on Eurovision has been gypped out of the Eurovision when you think about it, you know.
Absolutely.